On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Alex Smith.
This is Joe Gibbs.
And you listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley.
What up, everybody? Redskins Talk Podcast. We are back in Richmond. We're back in the Big Ten. The whole crew is assembled. Tandler, Mitch, Pete, everybody's here. There's a scorcher out there. Before we dive in, want to thank the good folks at Oarsman Automotive Group of Virginia. They are the sponsors. That's our squad. Who do we ride with, Mitch?
Oarsman.
Damn right.
Bob Biagi, right. Ford.
Yeah, man.
Make it happen.
All of them. Alexandria, Chantilly, wherever you want a car in Virginia, go to Oarsman. Right, Tandler?
That's right. Okay. I'm glad I live in Virginia because there I have many convenient to me.
I'm actually a little jealous for the first time of Tandler living in Virginia.
All right. Hot. Clearly the elephant in the room today was – well, the elephant in the outdoor practice fields was Darius Geis not being out there. And we talked to a bunch of players about his injury and what it means for the team after practice. I want to talk about practice first because it was a telling session. I don't know that it was good because they weren't really wearing pads, but it was the first time we saw Tandler. We were talking about this, basically 11 on 11 starters and offense and defense.
With the exception of Matt Ioannidis.
And Darius Geis, who was probably
right.
The starter.
You know, we can, yeah.
But I mean, we saw the starting offensive line.
Currently anticipated week one starters.
Saw the starting offensive line. We saw a lot of Jordan Reed. I thought today was probably Jordan Reed's best day.
A lot of Josh Doctson.
Right. A lot of Josh Doctson, who was running fine. The heel was wrapped up on the outside of his
shoe.
Which I noticed.
And also, JP, you've been saying Jordan Reed is having his best day a lot. So the fact that he keeps getting better is encouraging.
Well, maybe not even his best day, but his most active day.
Yeah.
Like he seemed like he was in on every drill. Like it didn't seem like they were pulling him on anything.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know if we'll see that when the Jets come. Obviously, when they put pads on, I think they'll go a little easier on him and maybe some of these other guys who participated today. But also, Daron Payne, the guy we have not seen in 2 weeks with an ankle injury. Out there, first team, 11-on-11, there he is at nose tackle.
And, you know, it was good just to see – there was good pace at practice. Even without pads, they were – it was – Mitch is literally falling asleep holding his microphone. You okay?
I'm wide awake.
He's not falling asleep because it's not a live hit for me on television. That's when Mitch falls asleep. Not in the podcast.
I fly all the time with Mitch, and it drives me crazy how he can fall asleep. Are you, what do you call that, narcoleptic?
Yeah, he just kind of nods off.
Are you narcoleptic? I just sleep well on airplanes.
You sleep well in hot tents, too. all right, so I was impressed at practice. Tandler, were you impressed?
Yeah. You know, again, it's hard to tell without pads.
Sure.
I think Alex Smith was pretty sharp in practice. Robert Davis was actually looking good until he got his Danny Johnson.
And it didn't look good. So Robert Davis was running a deep route. Ball came his way. Went down, not harder or softer than normal. Just kind of went down and he tried to get up and jog back to the line of scrimmage, fell down.
That was not happening.
Trainers came over. He was limping hard on his right knee. That was also taped up, I think.
More bandage, I thought.
Bandage, I'll give you a bandage. And went down, didn't look good.
Carted him off the field.
Yeah. We're waiting. It's just going to be a, if I had to guess, a rather generic medical update from Redskins PR. But we're actually, we pushed back on the podcast start time to try to get that, but we haven't gotten it yet, so we're going. It's possible Redskins PR is going to come in our tent while we're talking here, and you guys will hear it as soon as we hear it. The Davis injury, I tell you what, the opposite end, Trey Quinn was out there today. That guy got mollywopped Thursday night.
I'm dumbfounded that he was back out there so
and
quick.
And looking
so
totally fast. Normal.
Where is this coming from? I'm just seeing on Twitter, ooh, Mike Garofolo saying Robert Davis might have suffered a torn ACL.
Good Lord.
Well, MRI quick. Coming later tonight.
That was quick.
Who knows? But based on what we saw on the field.
Damn. Yeah, the possibility of a serious injury is definitely there.
Yeah. And we'll have to just kind of give an update when we get it. Yeah. That'll probably be tomorrow.
As we found out recently, wait for the MRI.
Redskins PR just provided updates.
Let's hear it.
Robert Davis is being evaluated for, quote, lower extremities. Catalina is being evaluated for, quote, upper extremities. Josh Harvey Clemens hamstring. Doxson and Pipkins both practiced.
Sounds like a Capitals practice report.
Really. JHC.
He's been out for a little
while. Yeah, he's been out for a little while.
So do we want to do a quick Davis, how does this affect, or do we want to wait till word comes out? Because now I feel like the receivers are kind of last man standing. They just have Quick and Quinn and Mo Harris. Those are your bottom three.
I mean, if you're
none of the undrafted guys are going to really step up.
If you're
up
keeping six, it looks pretty simple if Davis is really
it's
out.
It's kind of like running backs. Once guys goes down,
I wonder if they keep five. You know, I mean, who are you pushing to keep?
Well, you know, it depends on.
Was that a tweet,
I think
Mitch?
It depends on.
Those are tweets,
from health, Redskins PR?
Health elsewhere.
By multiple.
Okay.
Multiple,
I got you.
Multiple people.
I think if you had two really strong, you know, like last year it was Grant and Quick were 4 and 5. I think there was a lot, you know, Grant had been around for a few years. There was a lot of faith in him, which considering he caught 9 passes the year before was kind of odd. But, you know, that turned out to be well founded. And, but, you know, I think you kind of need safety in numbers with those guys, maybe. That's my guess right now.
Yeah. So you go six, and then somebody, if they go six, I believe Trey Quinn would be the inactive guy on game days because.
Specials.
Well, and whoever makes the last corner between Stroman, Adonis. Danny Johnson, and Mo Harris look good on punt returns in New England. There's a lot of football left, but it's an interesting situation.
Oh, just speaking of corners, Josh Holsey. He will stay on PUP to start the season, and we'll see how he does. So that was evidently a pretty serious toe injury that table
caused.
Shortly before the training camp started.
Yeah. All right. Well, the injuries just kind of keep coming. I tell you, if you're looking for silver lining, the fact that Matt Ioannidis, they called it a sprained knee. Gruden said he's week to week. Gruden said that guy's a nut job. He might push to be out tomorrow. He might push to be back out there tomorrow.
That one looked really bad.
That one looked
bad. I thought that was definitely going to be a tear or something really serious.
That looked worse than Geis.
Way worse.
All right. Let's talk about Geis. Gruden this morning was good on him. Gruden has got to say we feel bad, but it's next man up. Almost every player said the same thing. You guys were there for Thompson. Yeah. Go ahead on Thompson.
Thompson, we like to say that these players are going to be able to just reprogram themselves and move on, and I'm sure they all will, Thompson included. But he started to cry pretty early in his answer. He said, I'm going to try not to, and then just couldn't. Said he feels like Geis's little brother. As the older running back in the room, it feels like he's looking over all these young guys. It sucks that Geis's rookie season was cut short just as he got a taste of the field. We put the video up on NBCS Redskins, his full first answer, and he was kind of just wiping his eyes throughout. So Thompson will move on. They feel good about the guys they have, but this is something that really, really affected him.
But this, what got me between talking to him and Kelly, it's not just the ability of the player they feel they're missing. It's his spirit, his personality, you know, lighting up the room wherever
Thompson
he went.
Said
the running
he
back
loved
room.
The running back room. Yeah. Like, we had something special this year.
We talked to Trent afterwards, too, and he talked about, you know, he was only a rookie, but seeing, you know, his love of the game and how much it lifted up the offense, especially, he pointed out, especially on a day like today, when you've been in Richmond maybe a few days too long, everyone's starting to get real tired. He's like, that's when we were able to turn to Darius, and, you know, his smile and his effervescence really kept them going.
Well, and I want to get into one thing here, but we're going to run the DJ Swearinger interview after we talk. And DJ was very good about Geis, but then he also had a very strong response about thinking this team is done. And I'm going to let him do the talking, but I think it is very fair and well said.
Put it this way, he disagreed strongly with those.
DJ Swearinger's not calling it a season.
I tell you what, I had two people. So I wrote the story, it's not time to hit the panic button, and I firmly believe that. Two different people from the front office, and These guys love to claim they don't read anything, they don't see anything. They're like, oh, not time to hit the panic button. I was like, yes. And they're like, we actually agree for once.
Did they read my blog about Ryan Kerrigan being deaf in one ear?
They're all in on your dog fart blog.
Okay, perfect. Good. I haven't talked to them yet, so.
All right. It's time for the world famous one thing.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Tandler, you go first.
Alex Smith was, I think I might have hit on this earlier. He was not real sharp today. He had a one time where he dropped back, then kind of rolled to his right, couldn't find a receiver, just, you know, kind of pitched the ball out of bounds.
Preston Smith was in his kitchen few times. Preston Smith was just on him.
Tandler
really
wishes Preston Smith was in his kitchen.
And no, I don't. Pete, don't be an idiot.
Well said.
Fluff.
Too late, Fluff.
Fluff Haley. He had a couple of good passes. He had a touchdown to Jordan Reed, about 25 yards. Then he tried the same thing again, and Quentin Dunbar stepped under it and picked it off. So,
quickly.
Yes.
You can't flutter that thing.
No.
Am I crazy, though? I also think we're...
nice.
Beyond that, I feel like we're getting to the point in camp where the offense knows exactly what the defense is doing. The defense knows what the offense is trying to do.
That's why they got the guys in the green coming
in
tomorrow.
I'm so glad, because last year when you just have to get through these last few days of camp when it's still 11-on-11s, it's just so... boring isn't the right word, but it's... Not productive.
It's Groundhog Day.
It's going to be refreshing to see that tomorrow. Get some new juice and energy in here.
Is that you done, RT?
I'm done.
Mitchell?
I'm going with
We're celebrating Mitch's birthday tonight, everybody.
Yeah, so we might have a hangover pod tomorrow morning.
You might. Not me. I'm fresh. Fresh to death.
I am not.
Let's replay that audio tomorrow when your voice sounds like Fluffle Man.
My one thing is my man, Daron Payne, in pods when they go and do one-on-one offensive lineman, defensive lineman drills. He was basically destroying every offensive lineman as they were going after the quarterback. And he, in a practice to me that felt relatively unenthused for the most part, there wasn't a lot of juice out there. Daron jumped off sides on a play and picked up the football that the center was holding and punted it 25 yards onto the other field. Bruce Allen settled under it and caught the punt.
No way.
He did.
That's awesome.
It was pretty sweet.
Bruce was a punter at Richmond, right?
Was he?
Yeah.
So he has some special teams.
So Tressway should be worried about his job. Is that what you're saying?
Daron put a pretty good... In fact, afterwards, I said to nobody who was standing around me, That's the guy that's going to end camp kicking the field goal or something like that.
Right.
It was a pretty good punt. But
look at Bruce getting under it too.
Yeah, Bruce was right there with it. So that was a pretty funny, pretty good moment of levity in a otherwise, you know, more or less kind of drab practice.
Pete,
I'd rather be called Fluff than Peter. So
let's just go.
I really am trying to do my best to stay positive. I'm reading JP's article. I was on 100 yesterday when B. Mitch was saying an offensive line will help. An improved defense will help. But I can't help but look at Rob Kelly, Samaje Perine, and Chris Thompson and feel like we're back to where the team was in 2017. It's a fine group.
When they ran for 100 yards in three of their first four games?
Rob Kelly and Samaje Perine aren't starter quality guys for a 16-game season. I really just don't feel that.
Disagree.
The Vikings went to the NFC Championship game after their first-round rookie went down.
He was a second-round pick, Dalvin Cook.
Dalvin Cook was a second-round pick?
He was 33 or something.
Okay. Well, so, guys, you cannot get caught up in, like,
How? They just lost a really important player, and they have running backs from last year who averaged the worst yards per carry in the NFL.
Behind an offensive line, it probably will be considerably healthier.
It will help them a lot, yes, but you also, those aren't super dynamic guys who can make plays when the O-line is broken down or when they're not on their blocks.
Well, we don't know that.
We had no idea what Geis could do. Like, you act like he was already Todd Gurley at this point.
I think he had a much better chance of being dynamic and a game breaker than what they have.
Yes. In nine games in 2016, Rob Kelly rushed for 700 yards, six touchdowns, and 4.2 yards per carry. Like, we just forgotten that.
Well, that was also...
That never happened.
That was exploded by his one big Packers game where half his touchdowns came from that.
You know what? Guys who put up good numbers usually have a good game or two in there.
I mean... So you're discounting that because of one game? All right, that's his touchdown total, but he still ran for 4.2 a pop.
Yeah, 4.2 is very good. Last year when he was banged up and the O-line was banged up, he was a totally different guy, so we don't really know who the real Rob Kelly is at this point. I just felt so much better with him as the guy who's going to get four or five carries a game and P. Ryan coming in to help a little bit. Now that they're in the main role, I feel way less optimistic about the running game.
Okay, man, there's Pete. My one thing, does anybody else want to...
No.
I don't think that's the most outrageous thing to say. It's not outrageous,
but like...
To say they're not starting quality running backs is, I think, a little outrageous. I think if you look across the league, they're not your top five or ten guys, but they're solid guys.
Like, what is...
Rob Kelly's pretty solid.
Chris Carson's going to start in Seattle. Is he discernibly better or worse than
Rob Kelly? No, I'd say they're kind of equal. These are guys that you're going into the season with.
No, 4.2 a pop. We'll look it up later, what that ranked last year. I bet that'd be pretty... Or in 2016. I bet that was pretty high up on the list of guys with qualifying numbers.
I think Chris Carson and Rob Kelly and Samaje Perine fall in the group of, these are our starters, well, let's just hope it goes well. It's not, oh, we're
hey, who are the, pretty... Who are the Packers going to start?
I'm not up to date on who the Packers running back situation is. They also have Aaron Rodgers, and they can
By the
do
way,
more
as we're doing this, can we talk about the vacant look on Pete's face right now?
No, dude, it's like his dog got run
it
over.
It really looks like his dog got run 4.
Over. 4.2 like, yards per carry last season would have ranked 11th in the league with Chicago, New England, and Oakland.
He did that in seven games when everything was great. His yards per carry last year wasn't anything like that.
Melancholy Pete. Okay.
Yeah.
Like,
I think it's a totally fair point. You guys are acting like I'm just saying that.
Fair disagree.
I want to be optimistic too. I really do.
But dude, we're not being optimistic.
You're looking for the bright side and saying that they can still be sustained.
No, how about there's a middle of the road, right?
Like,
I'm trying to be in the middle.
Let's see what happens. No, you're not.
You just said the running backs aren't starting quality. That's not middle of the road.
And you're ignoring Chris Thompson, who had 800 total yards.
Yes, but Chris Thompson isn't going to be the every down back that Geis was hopefully going to be. Geis and Thompson would have been an awesome compliment. But now you have Kelly and Perine meh with Thompson doing work on third down. Of course I'm not discounting Chris Thompson.
You kind of are.
Yeah.
If you're saying that the running back position is no longer starting caliber.
Chris Thompson isn't going to be the starter and every down guy, so I'm not counting him in that. Their third down back position is top five in the NFL.
All right, but he's on the field way more than just third downs. Like, you know that.
Yes, I know that. But he can't be on the field enough to kind of cancel out.
Last year he was the offensive MVP. He was the most important offensive player they had. He was on the field enough to be that guy.
Yeah. He also got hurt 11 games in, and Geis would be able to take away a lot of those carries and keep him fresher.
Geis
got hurt one game
That's
in.
That's what I'm saying. He would have been if he was around. It's just.
But he's not. I don't know.
Okay. We're going
to. We're talking in circles here.
My one thing, I had two one things. One was listening to DJ Swearinger, and this will. People use this to his point. On one play, DJ was in and would have probably either blown up Rob Kelly or even gotten the ball before it got pitched out to Rob. And he was just running down the sideline going, woo-hoo, Fat Rob. It was just a funny, funny moment. You're going to hear from DJ in a minute. My other one thing, and this one's important. Did you guys notice that Tandler didn't have a live practice blog going today?
I did.
Tandler, of all people, who gives the most grief when people forget something or misplace something.
Or don't have their phones charged.
I don't know about that.
Now, granted, Mitch and I are always losing stuff.
Lose a podcast.
Yeah. Lose a podcast, exactly.
Doesn't happen to anybody around here, I don't think.
Tandler forgot his iPad at the hotel.
Yep, I did.
Rich is still decked out with about five different Apple products and couldn't find a way to come up with a live blog on that.
I really didn't want to bring the MacBook out.
I want to ask Rich something. So in our Redskins channel on Slack, you say, hey, I'm going to start the practice blog soon.
Yes.
My iPad might overheat. Then you go, sorry, folks, the iPad has overheated. And then...
No.
And that, then you say, hey, okay. Scratch that. I just discovered I don't have my iPad.
Okay, how did the iPad overheat? If you read everything there, I was giving that to whoever was working the desk as an alternative to drop in there if the iPad overheats. Because obviously I can't tell people what's going on.
Okay,
okay. That's an if. That's a contingency.
Oh, and then
don't worry, I'm sure JP will screenshot it and send it out.
It's time for DJ Swearinger. He has important, relevant information that clearly we no longer are providing. And real quick, big shout out to our folks at Oarsman Automotive of Virginia.
Cannot forget them.
We ride with them. You should ride with them.
And it's intercepted. It's Swearinger. And he is going all the way. They're going to mark him out inside the five. So here's Swearinger, number 36 in the back. And he just reads it and goes and gets it right away.
From the beaches of Miami to the humidity here in Richmond, how do you think the 2018 season is progressing so far for DJ Swearinger?
It's progressing good, man. We're getting some good work. It was a great day out there today. Defense did great. It was a hot one, but we fought through it.
How can you wear long sleeves and long pants when it's this hot?
Man, I'm from South Carolina, man, so it ain't no thing, man. The heat and the humidity is way tougher in South Carolina. So growing up, you got to keep the sleeves on so you won't get too black, too dark.
Who's in your lap here? Let's establish the guy that's going to steal the scene.
Popo the Don Day-Day, man. Well, little DJ. He got all type of nicknames. But
yeah, I bet.
Little DJ, we call him Day-Day.
He's got a chain. He's got Jordans.
Yeah,
he's doing it. Is that a turnover chain?
Nah, man. It's just his little 36 chain, man, representing for his pops.
So you did not play in New England preseason opener. That was expected, right? Did you think you would play in that one?
Yeah, I knew I wasn't going to play. Coach wanted to get some of the young guys in to get a lot of reps. So looking forward to this week, though.
So 3 days against the Jets and then the game against the Jets. That is a lot of practice against another team. Are you fired up for that?
I'm fired up. You know, as long as we keep everything in the lines with everybody stay on good terms. You know, no extra shots, no extra, man. It can be a good practice and we can see where both teams at.
Were you with Houston the year here in Richmond?
No, I just
were you in Tampa at that point?
Yep, okay. I just had left the Tampa. So
there's a little bit of a back and forth with Terrell Pryor, mm-hmm. who was with the Skins last year, dealt with an injury, didn't have the most impressive year. Mm-hmm. Now he's with the Jets coming here. There's been some comments between Zach and Terrell. Do you expect anything to come of that?
No, I don't expect nothing. I think it's all noise. He never was a guy to talk, so I mean, we not even go feed into that. When he get here, we'll lock it up, and then we just go from there.
All right, so I wrote a story about one of our conversations in Miami that you feel this team is slept on. You feel your defense is slept on.
For sure.
Is that still going on?
Yeah, I feel like we definitely slept on, man. We was the last team in the league in our conference last year. So if I was number one and I seen the team that was number four, I would sleep on them just because they was the last in the division. And as a team this year, man, we just got to get that bad taste out of our mouth, man. We got to work hard every single day. We got to get the chemistry right on both sides of the ball. And as a defense, man, we got to be stingy. We want to be stingy on defense and try our best to win the games on defense so we don't even have to put it in the offense's hands.
And so what do you think of your first-team defense? What do you think of the guys you got out there?
I love them. I love them, especially the first guys. You know, I like a lot of the twos as well. But, you know, the first stringers are definitely on point, and I can't wait to see how we go this week.
All right, question for you. Last year, you and Monte played top and bottom, up and down. This year, it's all going to be left and right.
Mm-hmm.
Why the switch?
Well, just to get Monte more comfortable. You know, to have him versatile to where he can play either one. I know I can play either one. So if we get caught on sides, you know, we can, you know, and another thing for the offenses, if the offenses don't know who the strong and free is, you know, we can disguise a little better.
But can you disguise it if we know it's going to be left and right?
Nah, you can't disguise it because, you know, if we left and right, we can be the strong on one play or we can be the free on one play.
Gotcha.
So it left and right causes confusion for the offense.
Are you excited for that change?
Yeah, I'm extremely excited for it. You know, anytime you have a set strong safety, guys can key on that. A quarterback knows where the strong safety is or knows where the down safety is. So it's better that
he's
we're
excited
doing it
for the
way.
Change.
Oh yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And let's talk about the big guys up front because Matt Ioannidis had a little injury scare, but it seems like he's okay.
Yeah.
John Allen, Daron Payne, all these guys look ready to go.
Yeah.
How excited are you for that defensive line?
Man, I'm extremely excited, man. I can't wait for the change. I can't wait for this year for us to get started. Those front guys are beasts up front, man, and I can't wait to see those guys go.
And how much different will that make this defense?
It will make us, you know, as a safety, I love it, you know, because we don't have to be so fast to get down to the run. We get those tilt balls, you know, we can load the box with those guys and just play ball on the back end.
You are a vocal player. It's very clear watching you practice. Mm-hmm. How is that received by your teammates?
They love it, man. You know, it's kind of when I miss practice, guys like, man, it's been quiet out here, man. You know, it's quiet as a mouse. Where you been at? You know, so, you know, hearing that, you know, it knows that I bring a voice to the team, voice to the defense. And as a player that I always been, the energetic guy, the guy that talks, that kind of lifts the team up if we need a player, need a voice. So I'm just embracing it and looking forward to this journey.
I got to ask this one. The news about Darius Geis is clearly sad.
Yeah, man.
What was your reaction? Have you reached out to him?
Yeah, I definitely reached out to him. It was, you know, it hit me hard, man, when I seen it. It was one of the first things I seen. As soon as I saw it, I shot him a long paragraph, you know, just telling him that, you know, it's just, you know, he's bigger. You know, everything happened for a reason. You know, he's going to be our franchise player one day. And I just said, get back right, man. Get back right, and next year you're going to be a beast.
All right, we've been doing this. It's been a lot of fun. We're going to do word association. I'm going to say a name, and you just react, whatever comes to mind for you.
Okay.
We'll start with the new QB, Alex Smith.
GOAT.
GOAT.
Yeah, I felt like he's going to be the Redskins GOAT, man. He's going to be a GOAT for the Redskins. A lot of people sleeping on Alex, so he's going to turn a lot of heads.
Okay, let's go to Josh Doctson.
Jump ball. Josh, you know, he goes out there, man. He go get that jump ball. You throw it up high, nine times out of ten, he go come down with it.
How about Jordan Reed?
Jordan Reed, man, crafty. Crafty, man. He go get you in that tight split. He go get him your feet. No linebacker can check him. Hardly any safety.
Can you check him?
I can check him. He'll tell you that for sure. but a lot of people, not me, and I'm saying that with a lot of confidence. A lot of people don't play, man, with the smarts that I do. And the knowledge that I do, so a lot of safeties will have trouble with.
Let's go to the defensive side of the ball. We'll start with the young guy, Daron Payne.
Beast. He's going to be a beast, man. He's going to be a beast down there. No single player can block him one-on-one. That's a fact. Double teams, you know, he gonna handle the double teams just like a single team, man. He a monster.
Well, and then his Bama teammate, John Allen.
John Allen is the monster. You know, we got the beast and the monster right beside each other. Those guys, man, from Alabama, they go add a lot of savvy toughness to our D-line. You know, something that I felt like the D-line always need. You need those guys down at the front that are, you know, if you talk crazy to them, they hit you in your mouth. You know, so that's, I love that.
We'll go Zach Brown. That'll be our last player, Zach Brown.
Wild man. Wow, man. Matter of fact, we're going to say Cookie Monster.
Cookie Monster. You got to explain
monster.
That.
Cookie Monster, man. I just call Zach the Cookie Monster.
Why?
Because of his face, man. He looked like the Cookie Monster. You know, you see Sesame Street?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, Cookie Monster. That's what Zach looked like.
That's going to be a meme in like 10 seconds, as soon as the internet hears that.
What starts with the letter C? Cookie starts with C.
Your position coach, Torian Gray.
Smart. He's very smart, man. I can't wait till we get to the game planning. Coach loves, you know, breaking down teams and giving us tools to be on point. You know, if we listen to Coach during the week, we're going to be on point for whatever team we're playing.
Greg Minuski.
Minuski, he's a wild coach, man. Wild coach, he loves to switch it up. A lot of things Coach bringing in, you know, he has the safeties coming down a lot, have us back. You know, we get to play a lot of coverages and be versatile, and I love it.
Last one is Jay Gruden.
Jay Gruden. Coach is, you know, a laid-back, savvy coach, man. He laid-back, but he's savvy in the way he runs things, you know, especially on the offense. You know, he can dice you up in a lot of ways. Looking forward to this 2018 season, man. I think we're going to shock a lot of people.
To that point, and this is my last question or comment, some Redskins fans, when they saw the news about Geis, are convinced that the team is done for 2018.
Yeah,
how would you respond?
If you think the team done, you're just not a Redskins fan, you know. I feel like real fans, you know, when a guy gets hurt, You just pick the team up. You know, you don't go point the finger at the coaching staff. You don't go point finger at our training staff. You don't go point finger at guys or even the team. If you're a true fan, be a true fan and fight for us to the long run.
I hope you enjoyed listening to DJ Swearinger. I think his words about Geis run very contrary to Pete's words about Geis and are very relevant. Thank you very much for listening. As always, podcast brought to you by Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. Taylor rides with them. You should ride with them. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
But don't drink that in the car.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.